Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will be talking about COVID-19 and the continuing experience of symptoms that many people continue to have even after they have already contracted the virus. The National Institutes of Health have officially named a disease of continuing to have symptoms after the virus has been contracted as post-acute sequelae COVID-19. It is also referred to as long COVID. On today's program, we will be referring to the syndrome as long haulers syndrome. Long haulers syndrome is characterized by more than 50 wildly diverse symptoms that are disabling patients with brain, lung, and heart disorders, plus a wide range of other serious issues. Long haulers syndrome is causing high levels of depression and even suicide. According to many experts, more than 4 million Americans, and that number may be even far higher, are suffering from long haulers syndrome. Worldwide, that number is expected to exceed 100 million patients.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
Well, on today's program, we're going to be continuing our discussion on COVID-19 and COVID-19 and its ongoing after effects that some patients have. Many patients actually are having this. In fact, the National Institutes of Health have officially named a disease called post-acute sequelae COVID-19, also for short called PASC, P-A-S-C. It's also referred to as long COVID. Our special guest today is Michael Bowker. He's an award-winning investigative journalist and the author of more than 20 nonfiction books published by Random House, Simon & Schuster, and others. He has written more than 500 medically related articles and contributed to a medical column in the Los Angeles Times. He became strongly motivated to write as his new book that we're going to be talking about. His new book is called Beating Long Haulers, and he was motivated to write this book when a family member and some close friends began experiencing serious symptoms of PASC, this ongoing symptoms of COVID-19. Well, Michael, thank you for being with us today here on Health and Longevity.
Well, I appreciate it, John. It's nice to see you again after a long period of time.
Nice to see you. Let's talk about a little bit, for our listeners, they don't know you, a little bit about your background and how you got into journalism and now into the whole area of medical journalism.
Well, I have a journalism degree, and I started my career in Northern California in a newspaper and worked from there. I've written several books and quite a few articles, I think in the thousands by now. And for a period of time, I contributed to a medical column, the LA Times. But my work's been on a variety of things, as you know, John, from health to serial killers, to sports, to politics. So I've been all over the place. It's been a lot of fun. The book, Beating Long Haulers Syndrome, didn't come to me until February of this year, when one of my closest friends came down with this symptoms, and we had no idea what was going on. I had never heard of long haulers before until I went to the hospital with him, and the doctor started talking about it, and I thought, oh my goodness, I've got to look into this.
Well, it's interesting because I think a lot of journalists nationwide, worldwide today, they were general journalists, but because of this pandemic, they have become medical journalists. That's the story in the news that everyone's concerned about today. And unfortunately, you know, many, many people died worldwide, and it's a serious condition. And there's a lot to this that... And that's what your book really brings about, because people think, okay, I had it, I'm over it, and that's it. or they had their vaccine and the people have been vaccinated are fine. But let's talk about this disease and give us the name of the disease that the National Institutes of Health has given, assigned to it.
They gave it the name post-acute sequelae COVID, which means the COVID sequel. And the real definition of what Americans have called long haulers, in Europe they call it long COVID, is that most people think of COVID-19 as a two-week flu that can be very vicious to people with existing conditions, etc. But for most people, it comes and goes in 2 weeks. Unfortunately, long haulers, which strikes at least 30% of those who had COVID, come sneaking back weeks later with a variety, up to 100 different symptoms, some of which are horrific and debilitating. And this is the story that I have to tell in this book. It breaks the myth that COVID is a two-week flu. It is far, far worse than that.
Yes, and it's quite interesting, the people I talk to, and I know you, through this book, have interviewed many people who have gone through this, who say they've had certain symptoms, brain fog or whatever, and they have things that have lasted. They don't feel like their breathing is good, and this is months after they've had the main symptoms. I think the first thing is, what about, because there's many people that have had it, they may be experiencing some type of symptoms they're not thinking about that is related to COVID. Let's go over some of the symptoms that the disease can cause. And so what are the most common ones that you people might see?
Well, the most common symptoms, and again, I think you hit it right on the head, the fact that this can last, for some people now, it's lasted 18 months. That's why they call it long haulers, like a long haul truck. Don't seem to be able to get rid of it. It doesn't seem to be able to get better. One of the most common ones is brain fog. And I have talked to Navy SEAL attorneys, some of the highest achieving people in the country. And the brain fog comes in and it is caused by swelling around the brain. And it completely debilitates them to a point where sometimes they can't finish a sentence. They can't think through a thought. Many of them have gone on full-time disability. And these are some of the most accomplished people in the world are coming down with. So brain fog is probably the number one symptoms. But like I said, there are over 50. Extreme fatigue, like no fatigue you've ever felt or seen before, another big part of it. It can cause blood clotting, hallucinations, trouble in the bladder and in your lungs, stomach upset. A number of very odd sleep disorders is a big part of it. Abundant hair loss, the loss of taste, loss of smell, intermittent fever, chest pain, vertigo, constant ringing in your ears to a point where, you know, a very famous guy in the book committed suicide over that, over tinnitus. Constant sore throat. There's balance issues. And another very particular one, many patients say they feel small earthquakes and they look around quickly to the people around them and they say, did you feel that? And no one did. The earthquake was within their own framework. And there's thyroid problems. There's a lot of anxiety, as you can imagine, sclerosis. So there's just a variety of things that can go from your toes to your brain. And that is what got doctors and patients so confused, and why it's taken so much time for this to gain clarity. People think, well, you must have something wrong with your feet if your toes are all swollen. Well, it's the same thing as the brain fog. It's just in a different part of your body. But it has taken a long time. Many, many doctors still tell their patients, oh, it's all in your head. And that, of course, is a major reason I wrote this book, is to dispel that myth that it is in their head.
Yes, there's many conditions today that a lot of doctors, I think, it's just, oh, that's psychosomatic or whatever, or they have thinking that's related to it, but it's not all in their head. And you talk about in the book that inflammation is a pathology related to long haulers. Tell us about how important inflammation is to the overall pathology of this disease.
It's a great question, Dr. John, and it's something that I think is going to be at the heart of the research. And I'm hoping we can talk about that research and the need for it. One thing that viruses in general seem to do, and this goes back, I even went back to the Spanish flu of, you know, the late 1919 there. And they had long hauler symptoms back then. So it appears that viruses can and often do, viruses including even the one that causes mononucleosis, and go in and damage the linings of cells around the blood vessels. And that causes swelling and it causes problems in the blood. It causes problems on the other side with the nervous system as it presses up against the nerves. So it causes a lot of those kinds of problems. But they believe that something about viruses, something the virus leaves behind, and some doctors have even said they believe the virus really, truly never left your body and can flare up at times. I don't think we have clear answers to these questions, but it is clear that inflammation plays a major role in this. And that's why it causes so many different symptoms in so many different parts of the body. Because when the inflammation occurs, it can strike any part of your body at any time, but particularly difficult when it continues to cause the inflammation around the brain.
Well, many health experts agree that a lot of our diseases are really inflammatory diseases, from diabetes to heart disease to cancer. And then part of that is, of course, our typical, well, I'm a nutritionist, so I think of the toxic American diet, our lifestyle, the obesity, the high rates of heart disease people have, and diabetes and so forth. And of course, the research is indicating that people who, probably the majority of the people who died of COVID-19, a big percentage of them were overweight, they were obese, or they had some comorbidities of heart disease, high blood pressure, other things that's related. So this inflammation, inflammatory effect of COVID-19, the virus, is probably just accentuate some of the inflammation they already have.
I think so. One 23-year-old woman that is in the book, she told me that she experimented because she's had a lot of these symptoms and continues to deal with them. She says, every time I ate pizza, they got worse.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely has a connection to what you eat. However, it's really important, and a key to this book is that it is not the patient's fault. Many very fit, very young people have come down with this. And in fact, the majority of people who are getting long haulers are actually between the ages of 15 and 65. It's not like COVID. We got sold on that COVID didn't hurt young people. Well, this does. This does. And in England, I have an interview with a woman there who has a minimum of 2,000 kids under 15 who have been suffering from these symptoms for over a year. And she says not one of them has yet to heal. So this is a disease that it doesn't matter your age. You don't need pre-existing conditions. You can be fit as can be, and it will come and get you anyway. I think, obviously, and you and I have talked about this many times in the past, if someone stays fit and eats good food, generally going to be able to deal with disease in a much better way than someone who doesn't. So that's just there. However, this can strike people who are very fit, who do eat well, and who otherwise have a very healthy lifestyle, but you know, it doesn't help if you don't. Probably makes it a lot worse.
Right.
So there's still a vast confusion among doctors and among researchers as to what's happening.
Well, let's talk about what needs to be done to help find treatment and cures. And I know you talked to a number of leading experts, physicians, healthcare experts. Tell us a little about some of the different, because you interviewed a lot of different people. This should give us some of the credible people as you had interviewed through this process of writing the book, and you actually have pictures of them in the book and have some of the interviews, information that you've done. Who are some of these leading experts you've talked to?
Well, John, I appreciate you asking me that because I think that is what makes this book stand out. I'm still absolutely honored and thrilled by the people who agreed to be interviewed in this book. Dr. Arv Nath, for example, he is the clinical director of the National Institutes of Neurological Disorders and Stroke. That's the NIH. Mm-hmm. In other words, he has a peer position with Dr. Fauci, but in the neurology department. And he spent a lot of time with me talking about this, expressing as much dismay and concern about it as I felt. And you know, my family and my friends have been affected by this. So Dr. Nath just really appreciated the time he spent with me. Dr. David Petrino, I think he's one of the most brilliant people I've ever talked to, is the he's the director of rehabilitation innovation at Mount Sinai Health in New York. And he developed what I think is the coolest, most advanced long hauler clinic. I'm just calling it long hauler rather than calling it PASC, which nobody knows what that is.
Yeah.
Let's just say this COVID sequel, he created a clinic that I think could be used as a blueprint for all clinics going forward. He spent a lot of time with me, and he is in this book. Dr. Greg Van Ijkenkorn, who is the head of the Mayo Clinic, he's another brilliant guy. Talked at length about this disease, what's happening with it, where we need to go, what his hopes are. Dr. Mitchell Miglis from Stanford, he's the head of the clinic down there. Terrific guy. Dr. Rachel Salas, she is the head of the Johns Hopkins Center for Sleep and Wellness. She was very generous with her time. Dr. Janet Friedley from University of Washington. That's, of course, where COVID was first struck, was really up around the Seattle area.
Right.
So I was interested in what she had to say. Dr. David Brunell, he's from that area. Dr. Jacobs and Dr. Shamish from Hackensack University Medical Center in New York. Dr. Ashley, another great doctor from Southern California. I also talked to who I thought was an absolutely brilliant doctor from Bulgaria, Dr. Ina Simova. She sent me an entire study, which was as advanced as any I saw. Dr. Christian Sandrock from UC Davis. He's out, and Dr. Fitzgibbons from Santa Barbara. These are some of the top doctors in the world. And this is really what makes this book stand out. And every one of them, every single one said, make sure that you emphasize that this disease is not psychosomatic. It has got a biological cause. Every doctor, every family member, every supervisor needs to understand this. This needs to, because the people, the patients who are being told that it's in their head, John, it's caused, as we've discussed, high rates of suicide, enormous amounts of depression, and they need to know that we are on their side and that we understand they are battling a biological disease. They are not making this up.
So what are some of the, for those that find themselves with this condition and they're having these symptoms ongoing, what are some of the things that they can do to find treatment and potential cures? Of course, as a nutritionist, I'm recommending a good, healthy diet, exercise, all the positive things, you know, certain nutrients we know like vitamin D and zinc and other things can be helpful to boost the immune system in your battle against it. What are some of the other things going on that they can find help with?
Well, a lot of people talk about trying to deal with antihistamines because you're trying to reduce that swelling.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a scientist. So my energy goes this direction. I believe that there needs to be some far more serious study and research into cures and treatments, because right now we don't have them.
Mm-hmm.
We just simply don't have them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a minimum of 5 million people have this in the United States. It could be as high as 25 or 30 million. It's a huge number. It's well over 100 million worldwide. And this is a very serious illness with no treatment or cure. So I'm looking at the amount of money that we seem to be willing to spend on other things in this country right now. And I am going to be speaking as often as possible about our chance right now to create a silver lining for this pandemic. If we can find, not if, when we find treatments and cures to the causes and the damage that viruses do, we are going to serve literally billions of people in the future, because viruses just come and go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if right now, with all this energy, with all this attention on this post-COVID patients, right now is the time to encourage Congress to spend some serious money, to allot that money for research, so that these pharmaceutical companies, which seem to be very good in this country at coming up with cures and treatments, get them going on this. Get them going. Let's find a cure and treatment for these folks within a year. That is my goal.
Very good. Now, this is a worldwide problem. And of course, our research going here could help the rest of the world as well.
There are already over 100 million people. And these are the most conservative numbers. I think it could be 5, even 10 times higher than that, suffering some symptoms. And if you start talking with almost anyone you know, they'll know someone who's suffering. Yeah, they had COVID, but they have this, this, and this now. They don't realize it's all part of this. I would love to see this whole thing become focused so that everyone understands what's happening. And we begin to tell Congress, anybody who starts allocating money can be an enormous hero right now. This is what we need our elected leaders to do. This is what we expect them to do. This is what they should do.
Now, besides the intense human suffering that this is causing, you say the long haulers is also having a profound effect on the American economy, and that could even get much worse from that, I believe, is what you're trying to say. You have any comments on that?
Very much so. Yes, if we cannot put a dollar amount on human suffering, then let's just look at it this way. There are millions of people now who are already disabled. And these are working people, like I said, most of them between the ages of 15 and 65. These are people who had jobs, and many of them have very good jobs, high-paying jobs. They're very productive. And little by little, they go on disability, and many of them now are on long-term disability, which means they go from producing in our society to relying on society. And this is not what they want to do. These are people who treasure their ability to work, and they're being robbed of it. So when you start adding up those numbers, from adding to the national economy to subtracting from the national economy, you are going to be talking about billions and billions of dollars over a period of time. So why not spend that money now and come up with treatment and cures?
Now, you interviewed several patients. Out of those patients, is there any one that really stands out to you as far as that you interviewed in the book that went through this experience?
Actually, once you start talking with some of these folks, they all stand out in an amazing, like the 23-year-old Brooke. She was trying to come back to work, and she was only able to work 1 or 2 hours, and her supervisor said, "No, you're faking it." Well, she clearly is not faking it.
Yeah.
And she took enormous pressure from them. There's another fellow that I interviewed who climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. He's a real character and a friend of mine at this point. And on the way back from Kilimanjaro, he got COVID on the plane ride back, got very sick, and for a year and a half dealt with these things, and he couldn't even walk out to get his paper in the front lawn. He's trying to make a comeback. He's got some big plans in the future, but you never know. Like I said, I interviewed a Navy SEAL who has gone from one of the most mentally and physically fit people in the world to complete disability. Mm. My close friend, Billy Mandarino, he was the sickest person I've ever seen in my life. And you got him into the hospital, and he had Guillain-Barré, which is a very unusual thing. And they were able to treat him for that. That is one thing they do know how to deal with. And he's now back full time. And so he is a success story, and we need those. We need to be able to look at them.
Right.
But these.
Well, I can think of someone too that I know that he got it right at the beginning of COVID-19, and he was hospitalized, and it was a very bad situation. And finally, he was able to get out of the hospital, but he had to be always in a wheelchair. And then several months after that, he progressed from a wheelchair to a walker. Several months after that, where he is now he can walk and has a cane, but he's making progress. And of course, he's taking the best care of his health. He's living more of a healthy lifestyle than he ever did, and building an immune system and helping with that. But let's say we have people listening today. They have this condition. They have long haulers. or they have friends or loved ones. And I highly recommend your book here, Beating Long Haulers, where you have the world's top physicians explain brain fog, fatigue, and other symptoms of long COVID, and why patients should have hope that you give them through this book. It has a lot of great information, and I really recommend, if you have any of these symptoms, get a copy of Michael Bowker's book. If you have a friend or loved one, buy this book and give it to them as a gift. Michael, how does one get a hold of your book, Beating Long Haulers?
It's Beating Long Haulers Syndrome,
okay.
And it is available in all the bookstores and Amazon. But I most recommend getting it off my website,
okay.
Which is, the name of the company is SIXTY, 60degreespublishing.com.
Okay.
60 degrees, by the way, is the temperature it has to be before butterflies can fly. So that's the name of the publishing company. If you buy it there, I will...
I want to clarify that one moment, because you mentioned the 60, but it's not the number 60. You write the word out, 60 degrees publishing, all one word, 60degreespublishing.com. Okay, go ahead.
And I will personally sign it for you. It's also slightly discounted there, and a portion of every sale goes to help patients.
Now, is there a phone number to call also associated with that, or just go to the website?
Yeah, you can just go to the website and leave me a note if you want. I will definitely answer. And like I said, I will personally sign it. It's a cause very, very close to my heart. And people are suffering big time from this. And I think we can do something about it. And John, I cannot begin to tell you how much I appreciate you having me on this show.
Well, thank you for being with us again. The book, Beating Long Haulers Syndrome, by Michael Bowker, B-O-W-K-E-R, who's a medical journalist. Excellent book. And here again, I recommend, if you have this condition, get a copy of this book. If you have friends or loved ones that have this condition, buy it for them and send it to them. It can be very beneficial. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
That's it for this week's program. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.